Let's do. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order at 18:30. Everyone is here except for Kurt, and Mark is joining us online. Steve, do you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
It's that way.
Sorry. Can we just see that one?
Yes.
Let's
just
use that one.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from May 29th?
Yep.
Do we have a motion?
Make a motion, we approve the red.
Okay.
Are you second it?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Next is the 2024 audit presentation by Squire & Company.
Great. It's actually the 2023 audit, because I am not going to predict the future about 2024.
Oh, okay.
I know, picky. Sorry about that. Well, thank you. Appreciate being here. So, Cassandra, am I able to share my screen so people could see it, or do I see that I instruct people to follow along?
Do you guys want him to share it or not?
Nah, it's
okay.
Fine.
They said no because it won't be very big.
Okay. So, does everyone have an electronic copy of it, Cassandra?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, if I point out page numbers and whatnot as I go through it, then you'll be able to follow along. So, well, fantastic. Well, I'll jump right in. Feel free to, jump in with any questions, and I'll pause a couple times if there are any. But first off, just wanted to, apologize for not being there in person. I have another commitment at 7 o'clock this evening, so I appreciate the opportunity to join you virtually this evening. We have completed the audit for 2023, and just first want to express appreciation to Cassandra and Chief and all of the administrative team for their help and cooperation in completing the audit. We had a few fun little things this year from a financial accounting standpoint, mainly with your new lease purchase agreement with Zions that you entered into at the end of 2023 to help fund the remodel of the station there. So I'll touch on a couple of those things as we go through it. But you should have two PDFs. One is the financial statements, the audit. So it has a cover page that has the name of the district, financial statements for year ended December 31, 2023. So I'll start there. Just on the third page, this is on the letterhead. This is our audit report, as you've come to recognize over the years. But we have audited the financial statements of the governmental activities and each major fund of the district as of December 31, 2023. And the second paragraph on that third page of the PDF: in our opinion, the accompanying financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the governmental activities and each major fund of the district and the respective changes in financial position. So basically that is, an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. So that's great. We have a few more items of information in that letter. Primarily, it just emphasizes the fact that as auditors, we come in and we assess the risk of misstatement, and we design procedures and perform procedures on your financial statements such that we have a reasonable assurance or a high level of assurance, but not absolute, that the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with auditing standards. All right, page 4 of the report, it's page 6 of the PDF, but page 4 on the page numbering, this is the management's discussion and analysis. So this provides kind of a high level summary of the events, financial events of the district for the year. I'll point you to page 6, which is page 8 of the PDF. There we have a comparative schedule of net positions. So this compares 2022 and 2023 balances, just at a kind of a condensed high level. So the biggest things that changed this year, you'll notice there is a long-term liability amount for $612,000 as of December 31, 2023. This is primarily related to the $650,000 debt that you entered into back in November with Zions Bank, as I mentioned earlier. So this shows up as a long-term liability on the financial statements, on the government-wide financial statements. And kind of offsetting that, you'll see in the current and other assets, that has increased by a couple hundred thousand over the prior year. So the most of that cash was still sitting in the bank as of year end. So that's part of the increase. And then that was offset by a lot of the capital outlay type expenses that were incurred during the year. And then if we go one more page down, page 9 of the PDF, which is page 7 of the report, this is a comparison of the revenues and expenses for the district year over year. So you'll see things are fairly consistent. We had a slight decrease in property tax revenue this year. Of course, your investment earnings, your interest jumped up significantly. And then our public safety expenses increased pretty significantly as well. And you'll note that on the bottom of the previous page, Cassandra has indicated that the increase in expenses related to hiring 3 additional full-time administrative employees, as well as increased repairs and maintenance costs. So that's the primary driver of that increase this year. Any questions so far?
Nope.
Great. All right. So the financial statements begin on page 10, which is 13 of the PDF. These are very similar to the prior year. So 13 and 14 of the PDF, this is the government-wide financial statements. So this takes your regular fund financial statements that you as a board are used to seeing month to month in the reporting that Cassandra provides. And this kind of presents them on what we would call a full accrual accounting basis, meaning we include capital assets as assets on your books, your buildings, your vehicles, machinery and equipment, and we include long-term debt as a liability. And you'll see that in the non-current liabilities there. Moving down to page 15 of the PDF, page 12 of the report, this is the fund presentation for the general fund and the capital projects fund. So we combine what you track internally as capital projects and impact fee funds together into the capital projects fund. And then your general fund is your primary operating fund where most of your transactions flow through. So you'll see there that comparative. We have a large restricted cash balance in the capital projects fund of $1 million. That consists of impact fee money that is unspent plus the $600,000 from the new note that are sitting in that restricted cash balance. Then down 2 more pages, page 17 of the PDF, just pointing out in the capital projects fund this year, the way the flow of funds there, we obviously have our impact fee money coming in. We have some $189,000 of capital outlay, and then we have some debt finance costs, and then we have proceeds from issuance of notes payable, that's $650,000. So that is the cash that came in during the current year from the proceeds of the loan. Okay, I will not go through any of the rest of the notes. They're there pretty similar in the presentation to last year, but if we scroll all the way down to page 39 of the PDF, which is page 35 on the financial statement. It's on the Squire letterhead again. This is our report on internal control over financial reporting. So this is where we would communicate any findings that we have related to any deficiencies in internal control over financial reporting that we identify as a result of our test work. As indicated here, we did not identify any deficiencies that we consider to be material weaknesses. So again, excellent job by Cassandra and the group. No findings there. 2 more pages down, page 41, almost there. This is our report on state compliance. So the state auditor's office creates a compliance audit guide, and there are various areas that we're required to review and test in conjunction with the financial audit. Listed there are the items we tested this year: budgetary compliance, so that includes everything from making sure that budget hearings are held, that they are advertised properly. Fund balance, there are certain restrictions on the amount of general fund balance you can have, impact fees, government fees, and district board members. That covers things like making sure that the board members have required annual trainings or new trainings when they come in or you know, begin a new term. So we've tested those areas, and again, based on the work we perform there, the district complied in all material respects with state compliance requirements, and we had no findings related to state compliance. So again, excellent result there. So that's it on the financial statements. I just have a brief couple of items to discuss on the letter that we sent out to. We refer to it as our governance letter. It's the letter that's addressed to you as a board of trustees. But I'll pause for a moment there. Any questions on the financial statements before I move on?
Danny, just real quick on yes. page 7 of the page 7 of the report. It's
yes.
showing that our property taxes for 23 were lower than 22.
Yes.
Did they give any explanation as to why? Was it delinquent taxes or?
That could be part of it, because the delinquent taxes are included in the government-wide financial statements. I'm trying to see. Yeah, your property tax on your governmental funds was $1.9 million from a fund basis. So that would be more the cash you saw plus the final settlement and that year-end accrual that you would have collected in January. So that's $1.9 million. In the prior year, give me just a second, and I'll pull that up. The prior year on the fund presentation, that amount was $2.08 million. So it did go down by about $178,000 overall. I'm not sure why, but that's, you know, we confirm that with the county each year. So we get the reporting from them, and it's consistent with obviously what you've collected. So okay. I am not sure why, Cassandra, why that dropped, but it did go down by about $180,000.
Okay. Thank you.
So you bet. All right. On the letter, this governance letter basically goes through and just it contains communications that we're required to provide to you as a board. It is a fairly canned letter, frankly, but it does cover, you know, important aspects. So first off, it talks about our responsibility in the audit. As I mentioned earlier, we plan and perform the audit based on professional standards, but we obviously are not reviewing every transaction. We're focused on areas of risk, areas that have significant balances or transactions. And based on that, we've performed adequate procedures to issue our unqualified or unmodified clean opinion on the financial statements. On the second page there, we identify significant risks. I like to point out that these are risks, i.e. these are things that have an inherent risk when we look at them. These are not findings, these are not weaknesses, and these are just things that have an inherent risk. For example, properly identifying capital assets so that they can be recorded and depreciated, making sure that restricted cash is properly used. That's primarily impact fee money, but also now your Zions Bank loan money. Obviously that has to be used for the purpose for which it was borrowed. So that communicates significant risks there. There were no significant changes in accounting policies. Those are disclosed in note 1 to the financial statements. And significant accounting estimates, the primary one we see is the estimate of useful lives related to capital assets. So we have performed procedures to make sure that those are consistently applied and that those are reasonable based on the type of assets. We identify as well significant disclosures. One of the most significant ones each year is the pension note. It's significant, as we've discussed in prior years, but this discloses the district's share of the Utah Retirement System's pension obligations and all the disclosures that go along with that. So There were no unusual transactions identified. We had no encountered no significant difficulties in dealing with management during the current year, and management has provided us as well with written representations as we're required to obtain in conjunction with our audit. So that's all I need to cover there. Any questions at all as we wrap up?
No.
Nope.
None here.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you again. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cassandra. See y'all later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Chief, you want to give us the monthly status report?
Okay, so it's only been a few weeks. We met on May 29th. Yeah. So the last year on this date was 573 calls. We are up now by 31, current 604. 95 since the last board meeting. So we're averaging about 4 per day, and it's picking up. Overlapping call volume, 8 calls for the month, 9% since January 24th. But so I had to go to a tabletop exercise today at the EOC, and Chief Brown pulled all those stats, and as he pointed out to me, he said it's becoming increasingly difficult to pull our stats because we have changed our reporting system. We have now moved from emergency reporting system now to Image Trend. And so Image Trend only carries half of, that was June 1st, it only carries half of what we're doing, and we don't know totally how to run all those reports yet. Oh. So he was manually adding up all the call volume. Nice.
Appreciate so, your frankness.
So very so these are good things. We have converted to Image Trend. We are adding a scheduling system in conjunction with Image Trend called Vector Scheduling, which ties in with our Vector Solutions, our Target Solutions training. So a lot of change. So if you have talked to anybody in the station in the past 6 weeks, they're a little tired of all the change. There is so much that's going on. And if you have been by, we lost our upstairs HVAC unit during the construction. So when that went down, that was like the last straw for C shift. They're like, I got to bring in an RV. We got to bring in something. Yeah. So you'll see an RV parked there too.
Nice.
So let's see, significant events. Called the I-80 for 10 MVAs, 2 EMS calls and 2 fire calls. Once again, I choose to highlight I-80 because that is a significant focus of where we spend a lot of time and resources. Mutual aid incident in Grantsville for a grass fire that took out 4 fences. We had a fatal hazmat incident at a company called TDC right here at Lake Point, around the point. That turned out, well, we don't really know the exact cause of death. We're waiting for the autopsy. Wow. We don't think that it's hazmat related because we were unable to find any chemical leaks, spills, or splashes on his body. But he was in the OSHA safety shower when we found him.
Oh, wow.
So that led us to believe it was hazmat related. Had a 100-acre fire on Stansberry Island. We had a firefighter 1 and 2 graduation ceremony. We had Image Trend go live on June 1st. We had Community Wildfire Night, which you all received the coin from. Some of you came and checked it out. Construction continues. We had a U.S. Forest Service presentation regarding our grant for Community Wildfire Defense Grant. We have 2 captains and 1 deputy chief who have moved out of their position task books for ICT-5 and Firefighter Type 1. Now they're on to Engine Boss. We had our HVAC unit upstairs went out. We had 3 of 6 prescribed fires performed throughout the county. So had lots going on and continue. So any questions?
Not 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yes. You guys have been busy.
How does the overlapping calls compare to the previous years?
We're We run high. Every year it becomes more and more. What did you say about this past week? That every time a call went out,
almost guaranteed every time a call went out, another one fell right on top. It was like that all week long.
The benefit to our two seasonals is that they are firefighter. They're recruit academy trained by us, and so they're back at the station working on wildland fire stuff. And when that happens, they take those calls.
Good.
So that's that, and that was allowed within the grant language.
Are they EMTs also?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are we on the interagency fire board?
Yes. We're on EMAG. And because it's probably coming.
Well, I seen it. There was some agencies from Utah had sent.
Yeah, they had
gone down to New Mexico. And I was wondering.
I don't think they sent out a statewide request for that because we didn't get anything.
Yeah. Well, one of them was like.
One of them was UFA.
And UFA
was
one.
Logan Hot Shots and Lone Peak.
Lone Peak and Logan. Yeah. So.
I was just gonna mention real quick that Kurt Stevenson and Kim joined in the middle of Danny's.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. All right. Fire Marshal Monthly Report. Buck, do you have anything new for us?
I won't be a broken record this time. So I'd like to highlight the TDC hazmat incident. It was good that... we'd gone in and done an inspection. We knew what we were getting into. We were able to know where the facilities were, what was hazardous, where was the best place to put a decom at was, just by going in and visiting with the employees there. Taking that information, we've assigned the captains to start doing some of the inspections that come up. That will get them familiar with the businesses and take a little bit of workload off of me as well. One other significant thing that's happened is they're going to rebuild the Farnsworth Peak facility. The generator is falling off the side of the mountain. And so the conversation was, is what do we have to do? And by the time we were done with the conversation, I basically said, hey, this is a life safety issue. Not only is it the life safety issue of those individuals who are up there, but you guys are critical infrastructure, and it's life safety of everyone who you provide communication for. So it went from just doing the bare minimum to now they're thinking outside the box to bring that facility up to code. And they started talking about falling ice protection and the amount of improvements that they're going to put up there.
The last time that they remodeled up there, we gave them a break on their impact fees on installing a Halon system.
Yeah, that was
we told them after it was operational and we certified it, then we would... we'd sit down and negotiate about it.
So we're going to push more for them to comply with code. I don't want them to. There's no water up there. However, if we sprinkle the building, we can use meltwater to fill tanks. And then once those tanks are full, then we can treat it just like a regular fire suppression system. So I don't want to give them. Based on the criticality of what they're doing, they need to comply with the code.
Well, we made them put skin in the game first before we gave it back.
Yeah.
At first they didn't want to, and they said, well, you guys can't fight fire there anyways. We said, you're absolutely right, but you know what? You're on our side of the mountain, and 80-year-old women here get charged impact fees, and you will too.
Right.
So that's how that worked out with them.
There was some discussion of where's the line, who do we pay. They are actually paying both sides, Salt Lake County and Tooele County, so there's going to be some question there. The new building is actually going to lean more on the Salt Lake side because there's not any square footage up there.
It's a knife edge up there when you walk outside.
So the building's on the Tooele County side. They put it there for tax purposes and for discounts and enforcement. But that building has to remain while they build the new building, so that new building's going to shift to the east, and that will put a lot on Salt Lake County side. So we will have to interface with Salt Lake County too.
Do they sleep up there?
There's two men that are up there 24/7. They spend 2 weeks on 24/7 for 2 weeks, and then they get 2 weeks off. And so there's a four-man crew that rotate.
Which channel is this?
It's all of them. It's not just Channel 5. It's all of the radio. They put in a new building called DTV, the new DTV building is all your digitals. 4, 9, 13.
Is that on Farnsworth or is that on Kessler?
That's Farnsworth. The one just north is under the same. There's no one living there.
Yeah.
But they have an antenna there, but it's maintained by the same facility.
And that's where we flew
they
into.
Usually just. Exactly. They just.
So did they fly you up there, or you drove up there?
I did my inspection last year, doing my normal job, I went up and did the inspection, and then when this came up, I had the understanding of having been up there and knowing what they were facing, and mm-hmm. voiced my concerns. One of my main concern was. You know, they decided they needed a backup generator, and so they put a backup generator, and then they decided that they needed a building to protect the generator from the weather, and well, then they decided that they needed a tunnel from the residence to the generator so that they didn't have to go outside there. And now all of a sudden they have a generator that's inside their residence, and there's no fire blocking in between it. And it's like, you guys are actively, when that generator is running, there's a gas actively coming into the residence. And you can't do that. And they're like, well, we didn't think about that. And, you know, it's 70 years of decisions, right? They didn't do it all at once. They didn't have anybody overseeing them. And for 70 years, we've been getting by to get by, and they're not maybe necessarily the best decisions.
Channel 4 still unmanned. It's up Blue Peak.
It's my understanding that if Channel 4 is off somewhere, the likelihood of them coming to Farnsworth is high. Okay. So I think that the goal is just to have that. They'll have a couple. The problem before, and I'm not a antenna micro frequency guy, but the problem was. On the analog systems, you couldn't have the antennas too close together because they would bleed into each other. And with the digital systems, you can have multiple signals on the same antenna, and so they're just going to move everybody over into the one facility so that they don't have to maintain all the different facilities. Is my impression. So I'm not a broken record. Would like to invite you, you've probably been invited, but would like to invite you to our apparatus pushback. The time is odd, and the reason that the time is odd is because it's election day, and Celeste Molloy would like to be home at home when the election results are in. So she will be in attendance.
What time is that?
It's at 10 o'clock on the 25th.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. And that's purely to accommodate her. She flies in first thing in the morning. She'll stop off here and then run home.
But it's also accommodating the Bureau of Land Management.
Exactly.
They were the ones who wanted this. So,
but it's going to be a hoity-toity event. Tim Jimenez will be there, who's our current rep, Nicolina Peck. Who is actually related will be there as well. news crews.
Another great article on KUTV.
Which tender did we end up with?
The 2001 Freightliner.
It wasn't 208, right?
Don't know that.
That's what I was telling you was rolled.
8208?
Yes.
Or number 208.
There, it was tender 208 for the BLM's numbers.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay.
You can give it a good once over.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're not going to lift a gift towards the mouth. It was totally rebuilt, but...
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day. All of the state and local dignitaries should be there, and we'll give them an opportunity.
All the state dignitaries?
Yes, sir. I think, like I said,
might have to take an errand over there, Scott.
You should.
Come driving in the county.
Here or over there?
Here. It'll be here.
Oh, okay.
It's here.
So it should be full of pomp and circumstance, and we could use your help pushing it back.
Are there any other candidates coming?
Everyone was invited that we could invite, so that we didn't conflict. The sheriff.
She's the only one that responded.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've moved it from Stansbury here, because there's not a ballot box here, so that we couldn't show that we were trying
electioneering
to campaign for anyone.
Okay, awesome, thank you. All right, Grant Projects Monthly Report, Kim.
Kim, did you want to go over that, or did you want me to?
Kim, you're on mute. I think she wants you to go over it.
Says,
she says if you could.
If you could. Okay. All right. If you could. All right. So there's not a lot to report. The Diesel Emissions Reduction Act, we're still working through paperwork and details on that. The skid mount pumps, same thing. They wanted more information and more details. We received a notification from a grant we applied for with Tooele County for the training facility, and they wanted to know a little bit more about our financial position with the county, or the county's financial position. So Kim worked through that last week. Our CWPP grant, we're coming to the tail end of that, and that was part of this community wildfire event. So we're just kind of plugging along, waiting to hear on a lot of this stuff.
Great.
Perfect.
Awesome. Okay, next is public comment. Anyone?
That'd be you two.
Oh. And anybody online, but I'm going to say no public comment. Bills review.
Did everybody have a chance to look over the bills from last month? Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
Okay. No contracts review, no old business, new business discussion regarding the obtaining a bond or other lease for the Lake Point Fire Station expansion construction.
This is kind of a question and comfortability exercise. It's kind of played into our hands to put us all down here, because this is the focal point of this discussion. Now I didn't intentionally bust the sprinkler in the ceiling of the station one to get us down here, but
what,
you know,
about the HVAC?
Yeah. So you could. So you know this station, you know the history. You've seen the plans, you've seen the future plans as far as hiring personnel to put them down here, getting the crew to be on I-80 and access, put them right on the highway within minutes, within seconds. Coupling that with the need to expand this station for all that vision to happen, and the future prediction with Buck getting 10,000 new homes within this area. If you play that out, we basically would have, over the course of the next 10 years, With our impact fees alone, we would be at $5 million-ish. We have a $4 million grant in to replace this station or expand this station. We haven't heard anything on that. We don't know if that's even in our realm of possibility. But the work we're doing, or the project estimator within the architect estimated that it'd be about a $4 million station, just to expand this, leave the bay in place, and put a section on here, that also leaves, I know this is our microphone, but, I took a picture today. We had a training session down here on fire management billing, and so this is how we're using this station, and we would be expanding this room to accommodate those types of things within the public. But my point is that if we were to go out and obtain a $5 million bond loan to expand this station, how comfortable is the board with that? That's where I need to know direction.
Which direction are we going to expand? Are we going to go up? The nope. Building's designed to go up, but it's architecturally not sound, right?
Anymore.
Okay, so we have
it's
to go.
Too out of date.
We have to go to the south.
Correct.
What yep. about our drainage pond? All that stuff.
They said that gets filled in, that gets compacted, that gets all changed. The building, and the living quarters would extend to where the parking lot is. The rest of it is parking lot, or is the turnaround.
So we'll still be able to get trucks.
Yes. Yep.
Around.
How far do we own back there? Beside
that's quite a ways, right?
Fans. We got what do we have here? 2 acres, you guys? Or just no? We had to get a conditional use permit over here because we were non-conforming. We were too small for the zoning.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But we were just barely too small. But I can't remember if we've got an acre or 2 acres over
that's
here.
That's us right there. That's where we are. So that it's big and narrow.
They did all the engineering analysis during the architectural review, uh-huh. and they said that it's possible to expand that direction.
Okay.
They did the core samples. They said this is not really a retention pond. It's just backfill.
Right.
And all, or it's just depressions
just filled,
in the landscape.
Yeah.
That just need to be filled in.
Okay.
So that was where we're, in the discussions with the officers, we vary between, you know, if we're truly going to be expanding this, our district by, 10 to 30,000 homes, then why not get a $15 million bond and loan? And I'm like, that to me puts us a little bit overextended. We can always add on to it, but you know, in the first gate, I worry about that. But
right. That's
been some of the discussion.
Well, we have properties that we're gonna have to start doing something with here before long also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have this personal hate of having two loans out at the same time. But that, you know, that's my personal thing.
Your parents raised you. Well, the same way my parents.
One of them.
Yeah, you don't write checks you can't cover, correct?
Correct.
So, but, you know, I don't see us really gaining that much in business right now to cover those types of loans. The housing, we all know houses don't pay. Mm. And houses are liabilities to us when it comes down to it. You know, unless we get some more significant West Desert Industries or something. Lake Point's left us. The majority of their money goes to Lake Point City now.
Mm-hmm.
Still nobody knows what's going on in IRTA. IRTA's still a question mark. Stansbury, as far as businesses, we're about bailed out over there.
Yeah.
Pine Canyon, you're not going to see anything go on up there.
Yeah, I wouldn't figure.
So I don't. You guys, I'm afraid to bet on the come. You know, we look at it. To me, we look at it farther down the road. Like I said, that's my opinion.
I
I would like to at least get this station finished.
Ours?
Yes.
Say Stansbury.
No, this
one.
This one,
too.
This one.
Yeah, why did we tear into this one first? What was the...
That was before me.
I know that, but I mean, we questioned it, and it was...
I don't remember, but I would like to get this... I think we should get this building done. And if we're going to... If we take out... I mean, $4 million is still a lot of money, but it's a lot less than 15 or 20. And to get this building done and, you know, workable and to have everybody here and do what it needs to do, especially with Lake Point growing, I think it makes sense.
I would agree with that as well. If you look at the... how many runs that you do out to I-80, the distance of time from Stansbury to here to hit the freeway and everything puts added mileage on and everything to vehicles as well.
Want to talk about Pilt?
So, thank you.
Chief, sorry, I have another appointment, so I have to go. So Chief will take care of
Kay.
The tax rate stuff for
you. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Won't see you tomorrow.
I probably.
I've got to come in and scan and
upload
it.
We probably won't see Kaylee.
I still have to sign them, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it tomorrow.
Thanks, Cassandra.
Okay, thank you.
Cassandra will let you do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, Buck, go ahead.
So as you know, I-80 is a major impact for us. We're always out there. We're out there every day. And we're not receiving funds for it. I was able to speak to Councilman Hoffman about why we were not receiving PILT funds. And his response was, those funds aren't supposed to be allocated to you. And my response was, well, I-80 response is the definition of those funds. And when he started thinking about it, he was very, very positive in the fact that we could receive some of those funds and asked us to figure out the numbers. How many runs are we running out there? And compare those numbers to the rest of the county as to, you know, the state roads, who's, you know, is Rush Valley going on 36? And once we get those numbers figured out, we can present that to Tooele County Council. One of the things that he said, we started talking about a heavy rescue, because that's the vehicle that's needed to run out there. And I told him that it was going to be a big ask. A heavy rescue, Provo bought their heavy rescue not too long ago and paid $1.6 million for it. That was fully equipped. When I told him that, his jaw dropped and he stammered a bit. He says, well, we're not going to be able to allocate that sort of money. He says, what would probably be a very good idea would be to get a loan and use those PILT funds as a guarantee for the loan for repayment. Again, I was always taught to only have one loan out, and I'm of the opinion that it shouldn't be a $5 million loan, it should be the $15 million loan, so that it is a single loan. We have the, if we can get the payment from the county to help pay it, and we can get those new rooftops that are coming, although they are a burden to us. It's still $5 million of payments that we're going to receive over that period of time. So it's not going to extend us, in my opinion, as much as you'd think.
And really this comes down to our application for CIB, Capital Improvement Board funding. They probably will not... they probably will not give us a grant because we're not in Duchesne County, but they will probably give us a 0% loan. So that's where that comes into play, is how much do I pursue the CIB funding for a loan of that magnitude or are we not comfortable with that? That's kind of where this goes. So I can go further.
If we also have properties that need to be developed over in time, where's the funding coming from that as well? So to your point,
yes,
I would feel comfortable with one large one.
I'm not sure CIB where they will be comfortable with,
right.
But I can find out. I can move down that road until I hit a stop to come back to you guys and say, all right, here's where we're at. So
the properties we're talking, is it like Arrowhead?
Yes. Yeah. So it'd be this one. Like for a 15, it'd be this one and Arrowhead.
I mean, there's Tilby Village, there's Majestic View, there's Crimson View.
Well, those are places coming
we're
in.
Talking fire. Money, we're talking fire. We're talking fire safety.
We already have land on Arrowhead. Yeah. And so we either need to build a station or vacate the property.
Right. So all right, I take
get
that as a positive.
Yeah.
Move forward
and
go forward with CIB.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll see what they can do, what they'll do.
Okay. Next is the 2024 tax rate review and discussion.
Boy, oh boy.
It's going to be fun.
This is, this all goes back to our community or our assessed properties. Gosh, I forgot the name of it. Capital? No, not the word. But anyhow. They sent us to the assessed properties centrally assessed properties. They doubled those up and basically our rate went down. Well, they realized they doubled them up, so they took them out. Now the rate's gone way up, and so instead of a 0.007. We are at 0.0859.
Plus, yeah.
So now we're over our 08 max, the state allows. Well, they've said because we screwed up with the centrally assessed properties, you're allowed to go over the 0.008. Okay.
This year, they
should just pay us.
This is the scary part of it because next year they could turn around and make us pay it back.
Well, and that's where Chief Brown and I have been working up some figures as to what we ask for next year, how much we put in the budget, and this has totally screwed us up because if we're at 0.0859 this year, they're going to pull us back down to 0.08 next year. There's no way I can get a budget increase out of that.
Exactly.
So I'm and what Cassandra said, that they have basically said that with the 0.08, the 0.008, whatever, 0.0859. With the 0.0859, they basically said, you know, you're at your max budget of 2.1. So all that effort we did last year to raise taxes and add $400,000 to our budget, gone.
Yeah.
So the question I have is for them is that if our 0.0859, well, we were at 0.0591 and now we're way over that, you know, they're going to just hold us to that $2.1 million as our budget. I don't see how that's going to function, because if everybody is getting taxed at 0.0859, it will go over our $2.1 million budget. And now Cassandra says it's not going to. They won't let it. I'm like, how can they not? It's everybody. Everybody is assessed. Even though we said spread it over 3 years, I have no idea what we'll... I think that's the answer. I have no idea what we are going to get as a property tax check from the county.
We've been bit numerous times over this same deal. So what do you do?
So tonight's...
Grin and bear it.
Tonight's discussion is simply to accept the certified tax rate at 0.0859. Okay. I don't see how we can not do that.
No. Okay.
But as far as next month, when Chief Brown and I come to you and go, do we go through it again? I don't know. Are you... We will give you some...
A tax increase,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
Because isn't this higher than what we can go anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah, we can't do a tax increase.
We can't do anything. And so I don't... I mean, the whole...
So we almost have to wait till next year to see what they do with this.
We put in for a tax increase last year, and they lowered our rate.
Yes.
Yeah. So we went back. Well, we essentially stayed flat, right? Yep.
And they... Well, we stayed flat based on a flawed assessment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we've stayed flat, but at the same time, if they assess, if they tax everybody in this county at 0.859, I can't see how we will not increase our budget.
Yeah.
So I don't...
How much, Rick? They should pay us.
Yeah, they should give us that money.
I...
The state. I have whoever screwed it up, write us a check.
Yes. I wish we could pass that.
Okay.
So I guess my point is that I honestly don't know where we're at, except for here's your certified tax rate that they gave us.
That's all we can do.
And
sounds like we're not raising taxes this year, so we will not have our friend join us.
Taxation.
I'm going to miss him. He'll be here. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, that's crazy. Okay, and that opens us up for public comment. Going once, going twice.
And
moving on. Action items, resolution 2024-08, approval of the 2023 audit.
Let me get there. I make a motion that we approve the 2024-08 2023 audit.
I'll
second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. That's passed.
Kurt's there too.
Kurt, you're there too. Can you hear me, Kurt?
Is he on mute?
He said aye.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kurt. Okay, next is the resolution 2024-09, approval and adoption of the 2024 tax rate.
I make a motion that we approve the 2024-09 approval and adoption of the 2024 tax rate of
000859. Okay. Who wants to second that?
Kaylee, is there any other language they need to say?
I was just thinking about that, and I don't think so.
I don't think so. He gave the rate.
He gave the rate.
Yeah.
Okay. I read it here and added the tax rate.
Okay. So that's all he's going to say.
Yep.
I'll second.
Okay, Mark seconded it. He beat you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Kurt says aye.
Kurt, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Okay, moving on to the board calendar. Do you want to go through that, Chief?
I'll let Kaylee handle this.
Kaylee, do you want to go through the board calendar?
Yeah. So July 17th is our next board meeting at 6:30. So far it's at Stansberry.
I was going to ask.
We will see when we get there.
Okay.
And then August 21st at 6:30, and then September 18th at 6:30.
Excellent.
Our district events, so we still have Daniel and Kaylee in paramedic school. They're supposed to be wrapping up around September, and that is provided by grant scholarships. As you know, June 25th at 10 a.m. here will be the water tender pushback ceremony. And also June 25th that night at 6 p.m. we have the NTFD family night, which snacks, Kat, and Pate. it's the way.
Is it in that order?
Yes.
Maybe we should do the yucking.
Well, you do that after the snacking.
We'll have snacks.
Okay.
We'll have snacks and obviously just talking, and then we'll have a painter there.
Well, yeah, we're talking. Okay.
We'll have a painter there for paint night. So if you guys want to come to that, you're more than welcome.
It's like paint faces or paint objects?
Canvas.
Oh,
okay. All right.
So we're going to be painting the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then July 4th, we are doing the Tula City and Grantsville City parades. So if any of you guys want to help with that, just let me know. And then July 12th through the 13th is Erta Days. We're still working on a contact with that. We don't know. The city's not doing it, so it's a private city.
I've seen the signs, but
Is it Chris Conley?
I have no idea. I just seen a sign, I haven't heard of it.
Hmm. I'll have to look into that. And then August 8th through 10th, the Stansbury Days, it actually moved up a weekend this year.
Yeah.
And we are planning on being in the parade for that. And then September 25th and 26th, we have the 2024 Fall Chipper Days. And that's what we have coming up.
Awesome. Thanks, Kaylee. Okay, public concerns. Okay. Do we need a closed session, Chief?
No.
Anybody else need a closed session? Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion that we adjourn June 20th, 2024.
Seconded. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 19:26.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, what's the P25 cutover?
Ha!